Okay, so we are discussing the blessings, and you know, the famous Mishnah Pirkei Avot, who is wealthy, Ezu Ashir, Hasameh Be'elko, and these blessings help us to be happy. How? If you say a blessing, you're appreciating something. You're appreciating something you have. And when you appreciate something, what you have, it makes you happy. I have it. Person doesn't understand how many things they have that work. Baruch Hashem. So in the morning blessing, we say every morning, everything we say, thank God for opening our eyes. Person can see. Tremendous blessing. So everything we say, every one of these 100 blessings, we have food to eat. Baruch Hashem, thank God, we have food. Person has to appreciate. And that appreciation should make them happy. Person will become happy. So it's very, very important. Saying these blessings should make a person happier. So when we thank God for the gifts that we have, it should make us happy as well. So a person focuses on thanking Hashem for the blessings, we start appreciating all the gifts that we have in our lives.
What page
are you on? 15. And by acknowledging and focusing on our many blessings, we can breathe, we can sing, we can walk, we can eat, we can think. That will inspire us to be content. So instead of people being depressed all the time and paying the psychologist, whatever it is, a person can make themselves happy. How do you make yourself happy? And the answer is by appreciating what you have. Every little thing that works, a person can appreciate what they have. You know, I was at the doctor's last week and going through blood tests. This is good, this is good, this is good. Thank God. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. This needs a little bit of thing. Okay. Thank God. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. I was going to say Baruch Hashem. Everything that works. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Forms that they give you to fill out.
Baruch Hashem, thank you. Thank you.
And I said, thank God, 99% of what they're asking me,
thank you.
My answer is no.
Exactly. Thank you.
That.
That's true. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam she'akodim bro.
Amen.
Thank you for the water. Okay.
That means there's people in the world that have...
100%. We're very lucky. Today, diabetes. Such a killer. So many people have diabetes today. And cholesterol, and this and that, and the other. Baruch Hashem. So we have to appreciate what we have. It's a benefit for one's blood pressure also. Person's happy. Besimcha. Tremendous joy in life. Person's going to have joy in life. And that's really going to be one of the questions, I think. I'd add to the questions. You know, the Quran says some questions which a person is asked when they get to Shemaim. So I would add it to the list. Were you happy in life? Were you happy with your Allah? Sameach Be'elko. Are you Sameach Be'elko?
Isn't that one of the questions?
No.
Not one of the questions.
That is one of the curses in Parsha Kitavo. Al Asher lo avadat Hashem Elokecha Besimcha V'tuv Levav. You're right. It's one of the curses in Parsha Kitavo. That a person's going to serve God with joy and tuv levav, a good heart. Oh, that's hard. It's hard. So in other words, when a person goes to spend money on a mitzvah, they do it with joy and they do it with a good heart. How do you do mitzvot? How do you serve God? That's a hard one. Serving God with joy and a good heart. Not a miserly heart, not a mean heart, but a good heart. Build a nice sukkah, have a nice lulav, have a nice... Whatever you do, do nice, do nicely. Do good mitzvot. Do the good heart. Spend on your Shabbat table. How's your Shabbat table look? How's your Yom Tov table look? These are big mitzvot. We think they're small, but we don't really appreciate what we have. You know, we're so lucky to have Shabbat. We're very lucky, especially today. Especially today's day and age. A day you can turn off. You can just... A day for the family. It's really... We appreciate it today. It's more than ever before. A person has to appreciate more than ever before. So a person can appreciate blessings. A person can appreciate what they have. So blessings enable us. That's the advantage of saying blessings. So a person doesn't say blessings, doesn't care. You know, I was very lucky. I had my grandchildren with me for the last few weeks. Different grandchildren. And it's such a blessing to have a grandchild. It's such a tremendous, tremendous blessing. But Bracha Hashem is giving someone a bracha by having grandchildren, really. Hopefully. Usually, there can be pests, there can be pains, but the grandchildren, they come and they go! Baruch Hashem! It's beautiful! It's great they come, and it's great they go sometimes, no. But it's fantastic. It's the best thing Hashem invented, grandchildren.
I think Judaism is a lot about mindfulness.
Yes, exactly, 100%. Mindfulness, right, exactly. Paying attention to what's going on, being appreciating what's going on. A person shouldn't just let life pass them by. person's going to appreciate every second they're alive and feel alive. A person's going to feel alive. A person's going to feel life. It's very hard. We don't feel life. Like, we're always looking forward to the next thing. What about living in the present? I'm always looking for my vacation. You know, I'm working so hard, and well, I need a vacation, so I'm looking forward to my vacation. What about feeling the present? And that's very important. Mindfulness. Feeling what's going on around. Feeling the children, you know. And, you know, appreciating your own children growing up. It's so hard. You know, it's so fast. It's just time. Just before you know it, they're grown up. They're out of the house. It's amazing. So you can appreciate it when they have them. It's real fun. You got to treat life as fun. It's fun having kids. It's fun having little kids running around and making a racket and messing up the house. It's fun. A person's going to enjoy it. That's part of the fun of life. How boring life would be without it. It'd be really boring. So we have to appreciate, and that's what blessings are for. There are blessings for everything. A person's going to say these blessings. And that's what Sefer HaKuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Alevi, says. Saying brachot properly can develop into a lifetime career of singing to Hashem. Of praising God for His bounty. Imagine a person sings all their lives, thank you Hashem, thank you Hashem. So every time we say a bracha, we're singing a song of praise to Hashem. We're creating angels. We don't really appreciate it. I wish we could see these angels. One day we're going to see the angels we created. And it's going to be a good experience or a bad experience, depending on what kind of angels we create with our blessing. So a person says a blessing with kavana, and properly, with not missing out any words, and not blurring the words. It's very important to say the blessing slowly, and not blurring the words. Not blurring the words. I say some people, they swallow the bracha with the food. It's important not to swallow the bracha. A person should say the bracha carefully and loudly. Say a bracha loudly. Be proud. Say a bracha. So whatever we have pleasure from, whatever we enjoy, say a bracha. So say a bracha, to sign of appreciation. We should appreciate what we have. And we have the capacity to appreciate and to enjoy, Baruch Hashem. And we can respond. You know, my grandson, I learned something new from him. I like this saying. You gotta transfer this to your children and your grandchildren as well. He says, he started saying, thank you, I love you. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, wow. I said, listen, I'm going to tell all my grandchildren to say the same thing. This is great. Say, thank you, I love you. I'm going to start saying, thank you, I love you. My wife gives me something, thank you, I love you. Oh, who wouldn't like to hear that? Isn't that great? Wow, we should all transfer that. That's fantastic. Oh. Say, what do you want? Oh, say, please. Now say, thank you, I love you. Okay, beautiful. That's great. Fantastic. Oh, that's great. I want to pass that down. I don't know why no one taught it to us when we were growing up. But let's teach it to our children. Thank you, I love you. That's a fantastic thing to say. And hopefully you'll feel it one day. He'll mean it one day. It's more like a parrot, you know. But it turns into thought. Eventually it will thought. That's the same idea. We tell Hashem, thank you, I love you. So this is a bracha. Thank you, Hashem. I love you, Hashem. We have to get to that level of love. A person loves Hashem. And it's very hard to get to that level. It's amazing. I was learning, I think it's Psalm 43. Psalm 43. It's the first of the second book of the Psalm, Tehillim. Second book of Tehillim. Psalm 43 starts off with the sons of Korach. The sons of Korach. Who are the sons of Korach? It says, the earth opened up and swallowed Korach and his family and everything he had. So what happened? It says Hashem made a ledge for the son, children of Korach, and they did teshuvah, and he eventually came out. The sons of Korach. So there's a whole discussion. There's some beautiful ideas over here. It wasn't really Tehillim of the sons of Korach, the descendants of Korach. Some people say it really was the sons of Korach, the direct sons of Korach, who had, he had three sons. And some people say it was the descendants of Korach, who David HaMelech made, they were Levim, he made them into the singers in the Beit HaMikdash. David HaMelech made them into the singers in the Beit HaMikdash. That's one opinion. The second opinion says, David HaMelech found the manuscripts of these songs of the sons of Korach, and he edited them, and he put them in Tehillim. There's a whole big discussion about how did the sons of Korach have Tehillim. So anyway, they say such a beautiful lines. I don't think this is really David HaMelech's talking. The sons of, but it's attributed to the sons of Korach. Kayal tarog alafike maim. Like a heart. Heart, H-A-R-T. It's a, what is it? It's a male deer, right? Heart. It's a male deer. Like a heart yearns for water. So he says, my heart yearns for you, Hashem. How many people can say that? The heart yearns for you, Hashem. And Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShir, which is a love song between man and God. So it's amazing how these greats, they yearn for God. So every time we say a bracha, we should really think in our heads, thank you, I love you, Hashem. I love you, Hashem, thank you. Thank you for what you gave me. Every day, like, you gave me this, and you gave me this, and you gave me this, and I appreciate what you had. It's unfortunate because we only appreciate when it's gone. then we appreciate what we had. We should appreciate now when we have it. And that's what really brachot are all about. Brachot are all about appreciation. It's such an important thing. Hashem wants to teach us this idea of appreciation. Judaism is all about appreciation. Today is Mother's Day, right? But Judaism says, no, every day is Mother's Day. Every day you have to appreciate what your mother gives you. So every day you got to say, thank you, I love you, mommy. Thank you, I love you, mommy. Thank you, I love you, mommy. Every single day a person got to say, all the rest of their lives, even after the mother's gone, a person got to say, thank you, I love you, mommy, for carrying me for 9 months and having me as a baby. Thank you, I love you. Baruch Hashem. It's what does it say? It says one mother can look after 10 kids, but 10 kids can't look after one mother. It's a tragic statement, but it's so true. So let's study the system of brachot. We're on page 17. And some brachot are much more thorough than others. And one of the brachot the rabbis really focused on was the brachot of Asher Atzar. Now, when a person goes to the bathroom, you don't really appreciate the functions of what's going on. How it's amazing, think about it. The birur. What's birur? Separation in the body. A person eats something. The body automatically separates everything. The vitamins go in certain directions. The protein goes in. Think about it. It's amazing. You can't even think about it. The Arizal says that same process happens with money. When you earn money, your money is already being separated into different channels. Some are going to Kedusha, some going to Tumah. The person spends money. So there's the three things you can note a person with. Bekiso, bekoso, bekaso. You can tell a person by his spending. How they spend the money, where the money goes, where is the money going to the lottery, or it's going to be gambling, or it's going to see soccer, sport matches, I was going to say soccer matches, sports matches, or other things. Where's the money going? Where's it going to? Is it going to Staka? Is it going to Mitzvot? Where's the money going to? There's a birur going on, there's separation going on. Same thing happens automatically when a person eats. There's a birur going on. There's the good stuff is going to good places and the bad stuff is coming out. It's amazing how the body separates everything. We can eat whatever we want and then the body automatically separates, has tremendous effects on the body. So there's a system by which the body divests itself of bad things. It's an amazing system. Otherwise we'd be poisoned. You don't really realize. A person will be poisoned by what they eat because if there's poison in the foods. You eat, there's arsenic in pits of apples. If you have like 1,500 pits in one shot, don't try it. Yeah. Probably kill a person, 1,500 pits. There's arsenic, there's all sorts of stuff we're eating, we're digesting, the body gets rid of. It's amazing how Hashem made the system. So the Asher Yatzar blessing, we say throughout the day, we describe what would happen if our physical system failed to function. Imagine, we have to thank God because we have to think of the alternatives. A person wouldn't think of the alternatives. If there was no death, we wouldn't appreciate life. It's an irony. If there's no bad, we wouldn't appreciate the good. There's no, Yotzer or Brechoshech. We're thanking God for creating darkness. Because without the darkness, we wouldn't be able to appreciate the light. It's such an irony that we're not people who appreciate normally. Human beings are not created to appreciate. We have to teach ourselves. That's the test in life. It's to teach ourselves to appreciate. A person has a good wife, he won't appreciate. Maybe he'll think other people are better. He can find a better wife. If he doesn't appreciate what he has, a person's going to appreciate what they have. So we have to appreciate. How do we appreciate? By thinking what would happen if it didn't function. Right? It's Friday in Ashkenaz, we just switched these two words around. One of them will close, one of them will open. Right? We wouldn't be able to exist even 1 second. One person has a heart attack, boom! Dead in a second. My father passed away, Baruch Minna. Heart attack, boom, he's gone. 1 minute, yeah, 1 minute, you're gone, boom. So that prompts us to thank Hashem for our bodies. Thank God our body's working, Baruch Hashem. We thank Hashem. Because the alternative is very hard even to think about. So a person's got to think about it. You go to the hospital. One of the bracha that comes to mind, Asher Yatzar. And the guy in my shul, so he's in the hospital. And he was came out of the bathroom, he's saying Asher Yatzar. The nurse came to talk to him, he says, he's saying Asher Yatzar. Then afterwards he explains to him, saying Asher, we thank God when our body is working properly. Person's going to thank God properly. So we appreciate by thinking of the negative. When you think of the negative, you appreciate the positives. That's one of the ironies. We should appreciate the positives even without thinking of negatives.
We used to have a Catholic janitor at the Avasafe who was on dialysis for an awful lot of years. And when I was first working there, he told me that Rabbi Schwartzberg, before being Yadav, Schwartzberg was there.
gave him the words to a Sharia Tsar in English so he would understand them. And when he first got diagnosed with the kidney disorder and had a dialysis, and he says he really, it really meant a lot to him. And then when he got a kidney transplant and he was suddenly able to go to the bathroom again and didn't need the dialysis for a while, unfortunately it didn't work for more than a few months, but he said he took out the blessing again that Rabbi Schwartzman had given him, and he was like so appreciative of.
Yep, we have to appreciate what we have. We really have to appreciate what we have. A person doesn't appreciate, it gets taken away. You don't appreciate what you have, very simple. Hashem, we have to appreciate every day. Hashem, thank you for what we have. And it was so hard to do it properly with Kavanah. So hard to say these blessings with Kavanah. Sometimes it's better to say them in English so you understand what it means. It's much easier for an Israeli to say these brachot and really mean it. For us, it's very hard because we're working through a second language. It's Hebrew as a second language. So you're thinking you're translating everything into English to understand the Hebrew. So we're removed. We're removed from the actual text. So we have to focus more. We have to read the English. We have to focus more. What the word means. What do the words mean?
So Rabbi, is it better to say it in English?
It's better to read it in English. Have it both, Hebrew and English. And this way you're saying the Hebrew, but looking at the English. That's the best. That's the ideal. If you can't say it in Hebrew, say it in English. But the main thing is to know what you're saying. You have to know what you're saying. You're thanking Hashem. How can you thank without knowing what you're thanking?
Sides of the precipice, the appreciation that every day is a blessing,
yes,
and that everything that happens, and,
yes,
and I think we are, many of us are far more aware of those than when we were in our 20s,
Yeah, unfortunately, it's unfortunate. We should teach our children at early age. We have to teach our children at early age. This is why we have to teach our children appreciation at early age. There was a school in England that would act out every day different kind of handicap on the child. So if one day they would blindfold the child, he'd walk around the whole day blindfolded. So now how do you feel like, how do you appreciate now you have sight? That's what we appreciate. One day they would tie up his leg. So now he can't walk properly. He's walking with help. So this way the child appreciate. One day he's in a wheelchair. He's not in a wheelchair, nothing wrong with him, but just know what it's like to go through it. We don't appreciate. I know it's like breaking your leg and then you break your arm. And you know what it's like. You start feeling sympathy and empathy for people who don't have.
Even if it's a small thing, if you have something in your eye.
Yeah, small thing, just small thing.
Like I had a surgery on one of my littlest toes.
Yeah. It's pains. So it hurts. It's minor and major. It's not. There's no such thing as minor anymore. Everything hurts. Everything. We're not tough as they used to be at one time. Small things, So we're not tough anymore. We're weak, and we appreciate more. So we have to thank Hashem for everything. We see sickness, we have to thank God we're not sick. Thank God for whatever we have. In God's world, there are no accidents. There's no Asher Karcha Badera. They happened on the way. Amalek, the masters of lotteries of Purim. We said that's Amalek. That's not Judaism. Judaism is everything has a meaning. Life has meaning. If something happens to you, God is sending you a message, a clear message. What is the message? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. If one of my friends is sick, there's a message to me as well. I have to pray. I have to pray for that person. And if my prayers are sincere, it helps me, not just him. It helps me as well. You pray for others, you get answered first. It's very, very important. So we have to know their messages. Hashem is sending us messages. Sometimes opportunities for us to pray more. Opportunities to see a reaction. Hashem will see what kind of reaction we have. Do we have empathy? Do we have sympathy? Do we care for them? Are we going to pray for them? Are we going to appreciate what we have more? Are we going to thank Him more for what we have? When we witness other people's misfortunes, we have to learn gratitude to Hashem. We didn't get that in Mitzvah. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, we're so lucky. You see a list of illnesses, the World Health Organization, Bar Minan, thank God we don't have these illnesses, thank God. So, the person's going to think as if we're cured every day. The person's going to feel as if I'm cured. Every day I'm cured. This could have happened. We say in the Asher Tzar, if this one of them would close, or one of them would open, boom. So thank God it didn't happen. Thank God it didn't happen to me. Thank God. Now, Now we come to the main part of prayers, which most people think is prayers. We don't realize that the thanks and the pleas and the thank you and the praises are prayers. Most people just think prayers are when you ask for something. There's other kind of prayers, other kinds of prayer. Blessings, there's a shevach, praising God for what? All the greatness of the world. Thank God we're going to see the sun next few days. Baruch Hashem. You know, now you appreciate, you know, last week you appreciate sunshine. Baruch Hashem for sunshine. And then when it's too much sunshine, there's no rain, we appreciate God in the rain. Thank God the rain. Thank God the sun. Baruch Hashem. There's no big fire like in Canada. I don't know how. They didn't put out that fire. I can't believe they're idiots. Why didn't they put out the fire? So much resources. Call in the army. Call in the... What's going on? They're crazy. Let that fire burning. They're mad. I don't know. Someone needs to be fired. So, the third category is asking God for things. That's why we talk about prayer. We always think of God. Unfortunately, people think of God as the celestial butler. The genie of the magic lamp. Hashem, here I am. I'm rubbing the lamp. I'm praying to you, Hashem. Answer me. And you know what? That's a very good kavanah. It's a very simple kavanah. A very good kavanah. Hashem is your parent. Hashem is your father. Hashem is your mother. Hashem wants to give. Just like, I mean, when I look down at my children and grandchildren, I say, I want to give, Hashem. You're my father. Where am I getting it from to give? I'm getting it from you. You're my father. I have no else to turn to. You're the one who's going to give. Give me so I can give others. That should be a person's kavanah. Don't give me because I want. Give me because I can help others. I'm just a pipeline for you. I'm a conduit for you. I want to be a conduit. I want to be your conduit, Hashem. That's a tremendously... See, some of these great, rich people who feel like they're conduits for Hashem. They act like conduits for Hashem. It's amazing. There's some really good tzaddikim. They're very wealthy and they want to give and they're looking for opportunities. There's a guy who funds up an institution called Dirshu. Have you heard of Dirshu? Dirshu is paying people to learn Mishneh Berurah. Wow. $50 a week. It doesn't sound a lot, but you're paying thousands of people. I mean, he's trying to encourage. He puts out these books, he's printing books, and he's putting out amazing. He wants people to learn Torah, so he's paying them to learn Torah. He's giving money for them, so they have to take a test. The only problem is you have to take a test. It's not easy, it's just to get money. You have to be there, and you have to understand, you have to take a test, and you get paid. So you're getting paid because he wants you to learn Torah. So he's using his funds to push people in that direction. There's a great man in this town, Yossi Stern. I mean, the man is amazing. He built a school, and he built a girls' school, and he built a seminary, and he built this, and he built a... You go to Israel and Yerushalayim, he built a whole section for Mir Yeshiva. It's amazing, this man doing with his money, or a person can do with their money. It's amazing. You've been bringing blessing into the world with one's money. So a person should pray to God, please, say, God, give me so I can give. Don't give me for myself, it's not just for me. Obviously, there'll be a bigger conduit, but I want to give as well. That's a very good, powerful bracha. It's a very powerful blessing. So give me so that I can give to others. So the Gemara says in Yebamot, it says when a person prays, one should direct one's gaze downwards and one's heart upwards. We talked about yesterday about the glory given to a king in Jewish law, right? Talking about not staring at the king. It's very rude to stare, especially at a king. You don't stare at the king. And the Gemara says when you pray to God, don't stare at the Shekhinah. You don't have to stare at Shekhinah. It's amazing. So this concept of not staring at God. How can you stare at God? The answer is when you're praying to God, don't. Even though he's not there, you can't see anything. Don't stare. Look downwards. And put one's heart upwards. One's heart should be upwards. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, heart upwards refers to the objective of imagining one is standing in heaven. But it's got to imagine as if one is standing in heaven. When you pray, you are standing in heaven. It's so hard. The hardest thing about tefillah is kavanah. The hardest thing about praying is one's concentration. Because you're trying to pray and the concentration is... It's like you're in the major train... The mind is like a train station. It's not like a normal... Not like Edison or New Brunswick. It's like Penn Station. The mind is more like Penn Station. Or even bigger, Oxford Circuit. I don't know if you've ever been to Oxford. Houston or Victoria. All these trains are meeting and the tracks are going here. The person's mind is going in different directions at the same time. We're multitasking... Today, especially, our minds are all over the place. Then you got ADD and ADHD. Our minds are going, and the children, you see the kids are all over the place. Our minds are all over. So a person is praying to God in name. Body is there, the eyes are closed, but the minds, we don't know where the mind is, all over the place. And that's the hard part, is focusing the mind. That's kavanah. Kavanah is focusing the mind. So how does a person focus their mind? That's the hardest part of prayer. If we could just tie up our minds and say, listen, you're going to focus today. So the rabbis say at least the first paragraph. Don't leave that first paragraph until you focus on every single word. That's the bottom line. Bottom line of tefillah is, if you're on the Shemoneh Esrei, just focus on that first paragraph. At least that first paragraph. Don't leave that first paragraph. Hashem, Sifatai, Tiftah, point every single word and think about every single word. If you don't do it properly, think again. You can't say it again, but you can just think it again. Think in your head again. God, my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov. It's such a beautiful prayer. We have such a beautiful tefillah that links us to our forefathers. We have to think that we are them. That we are in their footsteps. We're following their footsteps. We are them, Hashem. They had a close relationship with you, and you have a close relationship with us through them. Please, Hashem. Very simple, but it's the key to successful prayer. By linking ourselves to our forefathers, you're guaranteeing success. Why? Because Hashem loved them. Because they loved him. Like no one else. So they chose him. He chose us because they chose him. So we can be in their footsteps and say, listen, Hashem, you knew our forefathers. They are our guarantors. It's success already. So we have to imagine that we are standing in heaven. How do you even do that? How do you even imagine we're standing in God's office? It's hard to imagine, right? You're standing in Hashem's office. Hashem is an office, whatever. It's very hard for us to do that. So the truth is Hashem is everywhere. It's really a mind-blowing experience. To pray properly is you need a lot of imagination. You need to use your imagination. You're actually talking to someone. You're talking to the highest authority. You're talking to Hashem, but the mind doesn't grasp it. Our minds, it's hard to imagine. So the only thing you can think about is Yudke Vavke. You're talking to Yudke Vavke. Put Yudke Vavke in front of you. You're talking to Yudke Vavke. Talking to Hashem. So how can you imagine you're standing in the Beit HaMikdash? I've never been to the Beit HaMikdash. What is the Beit HaMikdash? I've never seen the Beit HaMikdash. You're standing at the Kotel, okay, that's more like it. You're standing at the Kotel, you're praying to Hashem. Because you have something to think about. So, that's what a person's going to think. Their eyes are downwards. That a person should think that they're humble as well. The success to successful prayer, the secret of successful prayer is humility. That by myself I can't achieve. I need your help, Hashem. I need your help badly. I can't do it. A person's proud, Hashem, that's the worst thing a person could do. Be proud. Say, Hashem, I don't need you. Bar Kochva. The rabbi say, Bar Kochva. What was his tefillah? Hashem, please, Hashem. What's Bar Kochva's tefillah? I don't need your help, Hashem. Just don't help my enemies. Bar Kochva says, Hashem, I don't need your help. Wow, that was guaranteed failure. Hashem, I don't need your help. That's it. I don't need help. Just don't help my enemies. I'm stronger than them. Naturally, I should beat them. Wrong. Hashem says, okay, I'll teach you a lesson. Bar Kochva lost. Caused tremendous tragedy to Am Yisrael, Bar Kochva. Ladies, next week I'm going to have a special class on Rabbi Akiva. I hope you can come. It's going to be during Seudah Shishit. So I have two classes. One class is about King Saul. We're doing a beautiful class on King Saul. Next week at 6 o'clock. And then around 8 o'clock we have a class on Rabbi Akiva. Really beautiful. We really have to know about Rabbi Akiva. Because the whole Torah we have today comes through Rabbi Akiva. To realize. Whatever we learn today, it's all from Rabbi Akiva and his students next week at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. At Shabbat, yeah, Shabbat. Rabbi Akiva. Very, very powerful. And especially about Rachel. That's the secret of Rabbi Akiva is Rachel. The secret of Rabbi Akiva was his wife who saw his potential. I don't know how she saw his potential. I mean, she had some kind of sixth sense. And she could have married anyone she wanted. And she chose this poor, illiterate shepherd. Where do you get a woman like that? How do you get? I can't understand it. But it's a powerful woman. This woman is, has a sixth sense. She can see greatness before anyone can see greatness. She can see greatness, basically. And she defied her father. What about Kibud Avaim? There's other issues we have to discuss, these issues of Kibud Avaim and other issues. It says when it comes to marriage, you don't have to listen to your parents as long as the person is a moral person. If a person is immoral, then you're allowed to marry them. If your parents say not to. But if the person is a moral person, you can disobey your own parents, imagine. When it comes to marriage, you can disobey your parents. It's a wild halakha. Normally, Kibud Avaim is a very important Kibud Avaim. So we learn from her that she disobeyed her father. Kalva Sabua was a very wealthy individual. She could have married any rabbi she wanted. She could have got anyone she wanted, and she chose this illiterate shepherd. It really broke her father's heart. But after 24 years, it paid off. Comes back 24,000 students. And then again, and then 24,000 students died. His father Kalva Sabua was alive. And eventually, he regretted what he did because he realized who Rabbi Akiva was. He said, "Well, if you were the rabbi that time, I wouldn't mind. I've given you everything. Now I'll give you everything." So she inherits her rich father 24 years later. But 24 years of suffering and misery. 24 years of living like a pauper. She suffered, that woman. I don't know how she did it. Tremendously. She was willing to suffer. So the Kuzari says, when a person prays, the prayers are the heart of the day. Just like a person needs to eat three times a day, so a person needs to pray three times a day. So women don't have to pray three times a day. But a person's going to know that prayer is spiritual sustenance. Just like the body needs physical sustenance, so the soul needs spiritual sustenance. So prayer is a spiritual sustenance for the soul. And we have to look for things to be grateful for. So the blessings help us in that respect. 100 times a day a person should have gratitude. 100 blessings a day, 100 times a day, a person should feel thank you. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. I love you. Thank you, Hashem. I love you. Okay, let's start off with the last bracha a person says before going to sleep. And that is the bracha of Hamapil. We're on page 24. This bracha is very controversial because some people say, you may talk, you may eat, you may be hungry, you may not sleep straight away, and therefore the bracha is a bracha lebatala. Ben Ish Chai says you don't say it with God's name, because you may not sleep straight away. But it's a good bracha to say. Person should say it's a bracha before going to sleep. So it's a bracha before going to sleep. So really, the day starts at night. The Jewish day always starts at night. Vayi erev, vayi boker. So then the day starts at night, as we learned from. So really, the first bracha, really, it's not really the first bracha because you already prayed Ma'ariv, you already ate your dinner or whatever at night, you're saying other brachot. But it's the first bracha of the Jewish day because it starts at night. Jewish day starts at night, so you say bracha before going to sleep. It's very strange, right?
The first bracha of the Jewish day be Ma'ariv?
Yes. If you don't pray Ma'ariv.
Okay.
In those days, Ma'ariv was Rashut, which means most people did not pray Ma'ariv.
Okay.
Yeah, Ma'ariv today is a minhag. Don't tell anyone. it's a minhag. So it's a minhag. Ma'ariv is a minhag. There's only two prayers every day. Why two prayers? What are the prayers based on? Korbanot. There's only shacharit and mincha. There's a big debate in the Gemara. The Gemara says debate. There's one opinion says it's based on the three forefathers. I never understood why there's three forefathers. Yes. There's Avraham Avinu that says Vayishkim Bamboker. Avraham got up in the morning. That's shacharit. Wait, say Yitzhak Leit Erev Lasuach Basadeh. He went out Leit Erev. What's Leit Erev? Before the evening, or the time of evening, which is Mincha time, to go and chat in the fields. Who's he chatting with? He's chatting with God. Lasuach Basadeh. Interesting. And it says the Yaakov Avinu was Vayivgah B'Makom Vayishan Sham. It says he got to this place and he slept there. But the rabbis say he got there and he prayed Arvit before he slept. So that's Yaakov Avinu. But the truth is, the Gemara says no, that's not the source. That is not the source for the three prayers. The source of the two prayers is today's portion is Rosh Chodesh. What do we read in Rosh Chodesh? We read about the Korbanot. So the Korbanot for the daily Korbanot was two sheep. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. That's it. That's our tefillah. So Arvit became a Rashut. Arvit is permission, which eventually developed into a minhag. Kriyat Shema is from the Torah. Kriyat Shema, the night, is from the Torah. But the actual tefillah of Arvit is not a mitzvah from the rabbis even, it's a minhag. So, we sleep. We start off with a blessing. Before we sleep, we pray. The world is a hallway. Pirkei Avot, chapter 4. Ha'olam hazeh, domeh l'prusdor, lefnei ha'olam ba. This world is just a corridor. It's amazing. This is an amazing corridor. I can imagine. This world is just a corridor. If you look at this world, it's massive. Imagine. This is just a corridor to the world to come. We can't imagine. We have no concept. This is just a corridor. Imagine Hashem builds this massive corridor. It's like, you know, go to the weddings and you see the atrium or the entrance. They try and make today, they make the atrium as spectacular as possible. You go to the new Waldorf Astoria. Have you been?
Yes.
In Yerushalayim. You're lucky. Never been, but I heard the atrium is spectacular. They made this massive atrium, which takes up the whole height of the building. The whole height of the building going out right up all the top. You can see the roof, right through the roof. Massive atrium. They want to impress people with the atrium. Well, this world is the atrium to the next world. This world is just an entrance. A hallway. Can you imagine? It's an entrance into the next world. We can't even imagine. Can you imagine? If you look at the pictures of the universe, this is just the entrance of the next world. Can you imagine what the next world's going to be like? I have no idea, no clue. We have no clue. We have to understand this world, however spectacular it is just the entrance. It looks permanent, it feels permanent, but it's not permanent. This world, that's the biggest lie the Yetzirah can tell a person. This is a permanent world. Strive for this permanent world. And it'll take it with you. You can't take anything with you. And that's the biggest lie the Yetzirah feeds us all the time. That we can take this world with us. Can't take anything with us. All we can take is our good reputations and our good deeds. That's all we can take. A person can take with them. There's a good reputation, good deeds. So this world is a hallway between the world to come. Darkness precedes light. Symbolizing that while we are alive, our life is a form of concealment. This life is a form of concealment. This life, the physical world, hides the spiritual world. We are looking at the tip of the iceberg. This world is just a tip of an iceberg. We can't see the spiritual world. So we're looking around us. This world is hiding the next world. This physical world hides the spiritual world. If only we had spiritual eyes, we could see in a spiritual way. So you'll come along and you'll see this massive palace, whatever it is. It looks beautiful. But spiritually, it's darkness. That's amazing. Huh? Think about it. Places which dazzle with light. These museums and these art galleries that dazzle with light. But really, spiritually, it's a really bad darkness. Yoshvei Choshech v'Tzalmavet. He said in the Mizmor of Pesach, the Pesach Mizmor. Yoshvei Choshech v'Tzalmavet. What's Yoshvei Choshech v'Tzalmavet? My rabbi in Israel used to say, this is the movie theaters. Yoshvei Choshech, you're sitting in darkness, v'Tzalmavet, and the shadow of death. We don't realize these are places of destruction. Because they're destroying your soul, all the things they show you in the movie theater, they're destroying a person's soul. So Yoshvei Choshech v'Tzalmavet, literally. So a person thinks, oh, these things, you know, they'll make such big things out of these things, really, spiritually, they could be devastating. We don't really realize. Things which we think are great are really spiritually disgusting. What we think is low, spiritually it may be very high. You see it today. People come to shul, they ramble in. Some people ramble in 1 hour late, some people ramble in 2 hours late. So what we think is low, that's really the high place. A person would know really what the effects would be. They'd run and jump in to be the first one. And people think it's really high. They're movie theater. People are lining up to go to the movie and they're lined up 2 hours earlier. That's the lowest of the low. You don't really realize. Olam HaFukhraiti. This is a world which is upside down. The value system of this world is upside down. What we think is good is bad. What we think is bad is good. It's amazing. So the only Judaism keeps us connected. Judaism tells us the truth. Without Judaism, we'd be dead. Without the Torah, we'd be... Our value system would be completely wrong, and we see it. You see the Jews who strayed far from the Torah. You see the value system. It's totally... They're anti-Israel. How can you get worse than that? How can your value system be worse than that? You're anti-yourself. You're anti your own values. Crazy. How can you be anti your own values? So we thank God for the gift of sleep. Baruch Hashem. Person can sleep. Person who can sleep should thank God, because a lot of people can't sleep. A lot of people can't sleep at night. And they wake up 4 o'clock, and 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So, you know, it's just it's such a bracha to be able to put your head... Huh?
4 o'clock is good.
Why is it good?
To wake up at 4 is good.
Why?
You get a lot accomplished.
You do? No, no.
I'm up at 3 or 4, but...
Depends on the person. Everyone needs different kinds of sleep. Person has a luxury of putting their head on a soft pillow. We're so lucky we have beds. I mean, we're so lucky. We are so lucky. Boy, we don't really appreciate it. We're so lucky. Think of 3 years of the Israeli army. You know those men go through, the men, women, whatever, they go through, they're sleeping on the ground and a little... it's hard to imagine. Roughing it out in camps. These are Gibborei Israel, we have to appreciate. Gibborei Israel, really. This week is Yom HaZikaron. We have to appreciate. Tuesday night, light a candle. All the people in the army, soldiers who gave their lives, not just soldiers, civilians being killed, and acts of terror, hundreds of, how many people, coming out? 22,000, they say, soldiers, 22,000 something, since the 48, 22,000, 6,000 people died in the War of Independence, right, the first war, 6,000. 22,000 soldiers have given their lives for the state of Israel. And plus all the others who were killed in terrorism and other things. So Yom HaZikaron is Tuesday night, Yom HaTzmaut is Wednesday night. We have to appreciate what we have. We have to really thank God for having a place we can call our own. For 2,000 years we never had it. We have to really thank God a million times. Thank you.
Are they doing something here?
We're saying Hallel in the morning. Yeah. It's good to say Hallel. We don't say it with a bracha, because you can only say a bracha on Hallel, which is done with the majority of Jews. The majority, if there's a miracle for the majority of Jews, unfortunately it wasn't a majority of Jews, only 600,000 Jews in Israel at that time. Only 600,000 Jews in Israel at that time. Today there's like 6 million, nearly 6 million. But only 600,000 Jews were in Israel at that time. Imagine 600,000.
You don't say a bracha for Hallel when you do it in the Haggadah either, at your Pesach Seder.
But we say Hallel on the night of Pesach, Sephardim, with a bracha in the synagogue. With a bracha. It's the only time we say Hallel at night. It's Pesach, the first two nights of Pesach. But there's no Hallel with a bracha on a mitzvah, on a miracle that didn't happen to the majority of Jews. So a miracle that happened to the majority of Jews is Hallel with a bracha. That was Hanukkah. So unfortunately, the majority of Jews didn't live in Israel at that time. Unfortunately, it's tragic. Which before the Holocaust, we could have gone there, we'll save millions of Jews, we could have saved countless lives, amazing. The British would have opened those doors. Yamach Shem of the British, Yamach Shem. They lost the empire because of that, I'm guaranteed.
It wasn't just the British, it was a lot of Jews who could have gone on their own to Palestine.
No, I'm saying they couldn't get entrance, they couldn't get visas.
Chose not to.
No, but they couldn't get visas. When they wanted to, they couldn't get visas. They wouldn't give them visas.
By the time they wanted to, it was too late. They could have been 36, 37.
No, even then, they didn't get visas. There were no visas.
They only
had
so many visas.
30,000 visas a year. 30,000 visas a year. Because the Arabs were pressuring them. Anyway. We're lucky. We have beds. We have pillows. Yaakov Avinu went to sleep with only a...
Rock.
That was the first pillow fight in history. It says the... Each rock wants the... I want the sunny to sleep on my head. First pillow fight in history. So we have to thank Hashem, thank you for the soft pillow. Really, I appreciate it. Thank God. To get a nice bed. Today, the beds are cheap. It's amazing. America, something's very cheap. But health is very expensive, and yeshiva education is so expensive. Boy, it's through the roof. It's crazy. That's the two drawbacks of America. Two drawbacks of America are the healthcare and the... It depends how much money you have. If you have very little money, healthcare is free. If you have a lot of money, you got to pay through your nose. But yeshiva education is a killer. Yeshiva education was doing more to kill Jews off than help Jews, I think. I don't know why. Because people can't afford to have children. They tell you, I can't afford to have more children. Why? I got to pay for yeshiva. So it's stopping the Jewish growth. So if you go to Hasidic neighborhoods, education is very cheap. How can you have? You have 10 kids. How are you going to say? So you go to Lakewood, education is much cheaper than it is in Hyde Park. Why is that? Crazy. What's going on here? Don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't know. It's one of the mysteries.
It's cheaper than, but then the Rebbeim get paid less.
Okay, so let them get paid less.
Do families, do modern Orthodox families in Israel have more kids than modern Orthodox families in the United States?
Yeah. Much more. Way more. Because education is much cheaper. Education is cheaper, you can afford more children, you get more Bituach Lumi, whatever. And today they raise the Bituach Lumi for children.
And there's an awful lot of people in Lakewood on welfare.
Yes.
A lot more.
Baruch Hashem. A lot more. Okay. It's in general in America. 50% of Americans are supporting the other 50%. Know that? That's the statistics today. By paying taxes. And a lot of Jewish kids now are going to the public school. Unfortunately. Okay, so we have to appreciate what we have. We have pillows. Baruch Hashem, we have pillows. Baruch Hashem, we have beds. Well, we don't think about it. Person goes to the bedroom and see a bedroom, bed. Wow, Baruch Hashem. I remember going to Israel and sleeping on the yeshiva beds in those days. Oh, gosh. It's like the beds of Sodom. You remember the beds of Sodom? A metal bed with a little metal flat slats, and your mattress is that thick. Oh. Yeah, I was young, I didn't care. I don't care. After that, you can sleep on anything. After that, you can do anything. You can rough it out, no problem. And a pillow, you get a pillow. You want a pillow? Sleep on your clothes. Okay. The process of falling asleep is similar to a treatment of anesthesia. Anesthesia. You know, I love anesthesia. Then you can really rest, you know. It's just too short, that's the only problem. Then I can really sleep, you know. I can really get a good night's sleep, you know. But sleep is like anesthesia. You fall, you're out of it, boy. It's so refreshing. Baruch Hashem. On the other hand, it's a klala. Sleep is a klala. Why? It stops you from producing. So a person on a high spiritual level feels they don't need to sleep. It's amazing. It's a really... You have some tzaddikim never slept. The Vilna Gaon says every six hours you sleep for half an hour. Every 6 hours you sleep for half an hour. And he felt tired, he put his feet into buckets of cold water. I don't know how he did it. I mean, these are, I don't know. Won't be able to operate like that. So everyone puts on. So a person sleeps and they're restored and they're invigorated. It's an amazing gift. Sleep is an amazing gift. Not only that, but Hashem protects us when we're sleeping. That's really the biggest gift. You wake up in the morning, your house is untouched, you're asleep, but no one came in, Baruch Hashem, every morning. Thank God you're living in Highland Park, safe, hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, be a safe place. And here we are, God gives it back to us, he gives back our soul. And the Gemara says, sleep is 1/60th of death. Sleep reminds us every day of the unfortunate situation where we're going to, where we're heading to. Sleep is a reminder. Inevitable end in this world. This world is like, it's a very morbid thought. This world is like a person drawn by two horses to a certain destination, and the two horses are day and night. Day and night is dragging us every day to our destination, unfortunately. But a person can look at death is not death. Judaism does not view death as death. Death is a new beginning. Ah, that's not bad. Now we look at talking proportion. When you bury someone, you're not burying them, you're planting them. You don't bury people. You don't bury people. We don't bury people. Jewish law, we don't bury people. We plant them for the next world. We plant them, and one day you're going to see Tiyat HaMetim. I'm looking for that day. It'll be a day of laughter and happiness. All the relatives will pop up. Grandpa, grandma.
I didn't know. I mean, I never heard planting.
No, you never came to my class before. Yeah. Come to the class. Come to class. I tell you, we plant people. We don't bury them. We plant them. We plant them. Because when you plant a seed, the seed dies. Seeds, they just... I don't know if you ever try with an onion. You put it in your cup of water. This is fifth grade, sixth grade?
For the onion. Maybe you say
the seed rots. Huh?
Maybe you say the seed
rots. It rots completely. It's disgusting. It's putrid. Worms come out of it. And yet you see then a green shoot coming out of it. That's what's going to happen to the body. Body, simply. You plant the body. You plant the body. And the body rots, and you think that's it. It's over, finished, and Hashem says, Mechayem etim. Baruch Ata Hashem, we say every day, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mechayem etim, Hashem. The Jewish people, we rotted many times, we died, we faced death many times. We planted 6 million, and the seed comes out, you get the state of Israel. We don't see a miracle like that. People still ask questions, they're mad, they ask questions. We see the miracles of God in our lives, we have to appreciate. Thank God, Baruch Hashem. So sleep gives us its sustenance. It's like medicine. Provides life and it provides us peace of mind. Imagine a person can't sleep and you see people lack of sleep. They go crazy. Okay, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to Bezrat Hashem. We'll continue next week, right? Bezrat Hashem.
Thank you.
And look, the weather's improving already.